Well, it's been good to minister to you today. And I trust the Lord will help us, make us a blessing. I got to fill in next Sunday, and then I've got a Sunday off, and then the 29th, I get a knee swapped out if I can get through all the hoops between now and then. You know, I think I'm clear with the cardiologist, and then I go to the hospital, and there's a doctor there. And if you've been through it, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody's got to clear you. So I'm just thankful I've got two legs instead of four. Found in Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4, begin reading at verse 29. Acts 4, verse 29, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for this good day because of your presence and your blessing. We thank you that we're able to be in the house of the Lord tonight. We pray that you'd open your word to our hearts. Give us that you see that we have need. And whatever you do, we'll give thee all the praise in Jesus' name. Our text in verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." We'd notice there were some great things that took place in the latter part of this fourth chapter. And as we back up, I believe, into the preceding chapter, we find how a lot of it started. You remember Peter and John was going up to the temple, and the fellow that was carried and laid there daily couldn't help himself. Like one that I talked about this morning that was lame. He had to be carried and laid there. And when Peter and John was on their way up to pray, and the poor guy hoped that he could receive something, they'd give him a little bit of money, looking on them, whenever Peter said, "Look on us." And he still thought that he would receive something in a financial way. And Peter, reaching down, inspired by the blessed Holy Ghost, and got him by the hand, and told him to rise up and walk. And said that his ankles, feet and ankles, received strength. And he got up and went on in to the temple with them. But I tell you, he was the excitement of the day. The scripture said he was leaping and walking and praising God. We need more crippled folk around here that's healed and touched, so that they can leap and walk and praise the Lord. Well, things just got out of hand, and the devil couldn't keep the lid on everything. And I believe the scripture tells us that 5,000 were saved that day. Many believed, and about 5,000 got saved. What a revival that was, because of the manifestation of the power of God. And so the so-called religious leaders of the day, they realized things were getting out of hand and slipping away from them. And so they wanted to bring Peter and John, perhaps some of the others, into account for this very thing. And so we find before where I read where Peter and John and the church, where they was praying and calling on the Lord, and they begin to pray. And they said, "Oh God, thou hast created heaven, you've created earth, you've created the sea, and all that there is." Well, the Lord already knew that he had created all those things. And sometimes we pray that way. Not that we're informing the Lord of anything, but it helps us whenever we begin to pray and remind God of what he's done. Remind God of the promises that he has. He knows what his promises are, but it does me good to quote them to him and tell him that I know that he's promised these things. Well, we notice that the scripture tells us this was great praying. It said the place was shaken where they was at. Now, I'd like to be one time, I think I would, one time in a prayer meeting like that. Wouldn't you? To where the place was shaken when they prayed. I've been in a lot of prayer meetings when it wasn't shook. I've been in a lot of times where it was too dusty and too dry and there wasn't anything taking place, and maybe I was just as guilty as the next individual. I don't know about that. I'm willing to assume whatever responsibility is mine to assume. But I tell you, there was some great praying that took place. And generally, wherever God moves and there's miracles and wonderful things taking place, it's because there's been some praying taking place and some obedience as well. You know, the two go together, praying and obeying. Whatever God wants us to do, whatever he says. It's not a battle of the sanctified to do the will of God. It may be a battle sometime to know what his will is, to know that things may be a little fuzzy and confusing as to what God wants us to do. But once we know what his will is, we delight to do his will. We delight to walk in the light and to do that he wants us to do. Well, what a wonderful, wonderful time. Great praying, great shaking that took place. Things could never be the same whenever you pray and things get shook up in that manner. Well, it encouraged the church, and it would have to bring conviction upon the sinners, and that's why there was the 5,000 that got saved. Well, there was the scripture tells us there was a great filling, for it said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I really don't believe in this particular case that he was talking about that they were sanctified. I think that whoever probably was sanctified there, but there comes those times whenever we've got to go back to the fountain and go back for that infilling. Even the sanctified heart has to go before God for that infilling from time to time, or after a while we'll run out and we'll run dry. Praise God. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Then it said there was great boldness. They spake the word of God with boldness. The scripture tells us that those religious leaders looked at those fellows, and it didn't take them too long to learn that they were uneducated fellows, and yet there was a spirit of boldness and something about those individuals. They weren't arrogant, they weren't carnal, they weren't retaliatory, but there was something about the Spirit and the infilling of the Spirit upon their lives until there was a boldness there. They wouldn't compromise the truth. They wouldn't back down. They had testified and preached about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and they wouldn't back down one bit. Praise God. He'll give us boldness in this hour. I think it tells us in the scripture that whenever we're brought before the kings and the rulers, don't give it any, waste your time giving it any thought as to what you're going to say and what you're going to tell them, that the Holy Spirit will give you wisdom and give you words to witness and to testify in that particular hour. Great unity. It talks about great unity. It said the believers were of one heart and one soul. My goodness, why couldn't God bless in a place like that when believers were of one heart, praying together, believing together, holding one another up together, one doctrine, one purpose, one goal. I declare, I believe, I can't understand how some groups can even hold together. I mean, they don't believe in wholeness to start with. They don't believe in a sanctified heart to start with. So therefore, the people are carnal. And the preacher's carnal. And whatever they do, it's carnal. And you wonder how in the world they can hold together and operate as they do. I heard one so-called holiness church, and there was ladies that wanted to play the piano, and they would maybe get there early and try to get there first, and one got there first and got on the piano bench, and another one thought she'd trick her, and you know, came out of the office and said, "You got a phone call," and so she just picked up the piano bench and carried it like this with her so nobody else could get on it. Oh, I'm sure the glory of the Lord fell that night. Unity, great, great unity, praise God. Then I believe there was great charity among that crowd, because he said, neither said any of them that the things that they possessed was theirs. Now, I know a little bit about people. And kind of the general rule a lot of the time is, what's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. Unless you can get it away from me by some means or another. But that crowd was so full of the Spirit of the Lord and the blessing of God and the fullness, and so nobody had need, and there was one treasure. I'm not advocating that. I'm just talking about the benevolence, the love, the unity, and having one in the financial way. You know, if we can get our finance, get our pocketbook on the altar, we made a big step. Praise God. Made a big step. Backing up a little bit. Talking about great praying. I've got confidence in folks' prayers. Praise God. I appreciate folks that pray, folks that live good lives, folks that pray, call on God. Years ago, when I would walk from school here and walk down to the bridge and back, having some heart problems like I've had for 30 years. Hadn't killed me yet, but probably maybe will. But I'd been out to Coweta, where Esther and Berlin pastored. My folks attended that church. My father knew he had heart surgery. He knew what I was going through, and after I'd left, I think it touched his heart. Because when I was coming along and got just along the way out there, maybe before I got to that trailer over there, the Lord, and I don't know how he does it, but he talks in a way that we understand, and it's not audible at all. Just out of clear blue sky, he said, "Your old daddy prayed through for you." Now, I've never been completely healed, and whatever, but I've made it. I've stayed out of the nursing home, and thank God for his help. I thought this afternoon, preparation for the service, in regard to great praying, some of the older ones in this congregation probably remember old Brother Barber from up here at Bicknell. Well, years ago, some 30, 35 years ago, he preached in our church out in Franklin, Pennsylvania. And he told this story. He said a lady there in his church and her son in the military, when she gets this announcement, missing in action. Well, she'd been praying for him that God would bring him back safe, and she gets this word, missing in action. And naturally, that was a burden to her heart, but she takes it to the Lord. And she tells the church what she's received. But she said, "You know, God's going to bring my boy back." And week after week passed by, and maybe month after month, and she still testified to the church. She said, "God's going to bring my boy back safe." Well, it got to the point to where even the church said, "Poor old sister so-and-so." I mean, the pressure of it's got to her. It's affecting her. She's in denial. She just won't accept it. Her boy's not coming. But she didn't pay any attention to them. She just held on to the promise of God. She just held on in prayer and kept believing that God would bring her back. He'd put her boy back. Well, to make a longer story short, there came that day. And she looked out the window. A military vehicle pulled up at the curb. And an officer gets out on one side, opens the door for her boy, and starts up to walk with him. Well, I tell you, she come out of there. She went on down. She shouted, praising. And she got on the other side of her boy. The officer's on one side, her boy in the middle, and she's in, on the other side. I don't know how many trips they made up and down the yard, I don't know. But she was shouting and praising God and rejoicing in him, and it was just like she had believed, just like she had trusted all along. God had answered prayer. Well, all of us have got some unsaved loved ones tonight. They're not missing in action, but they're lost. And there's some that I pray for, some in this community, some in this congregation that I pray for every day, every day. And the devil will tell you that it's no use. The devil will tell you that it's not doing a bit of good, but I know that it is. And I know that God is faithful if we'll just keep holding on. Well, great power. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. Well, Peter stood out there and preached to them that day, and he said, "You know, when Pilate was wanting to let him go, and you convinced him to kill him, and he just put it on that crowd." Great power that he gave, along with the great boldness. Great witness that they had. Witness of the resurrection, all that hangs. And it does, it all hangs on the resurrection. Others' heroes are still in the grave, but ours has rose. He's out. And then thank God for great grace. For it said, "And great grace was upon them all." In other words, everybody that was associated with it and in the church, great grace was upon them. There were some that probably could preach a little bit. Everybody could testify. Everybody could pray. Some might have even been able to sing. And there was those that could witness. But great grace was upon them all. What a wonderful time. The New Testament
in Acts, it sets the pattern of the New Testament church, the pattern that we follow. I'll agree or admit that the beginning of the church age is different than the last of the church age as far as the falling away and some things that's going to take place. But God is still the same. His power is still the same. He still answers prayer in the same old-fashioned way. Thank God for the greatness that He is. Let's stand.